buildings and tower and just crushed and crumbled. I'm not sure if it's safe to report from my vantage point. I really need to leave. So the fences informed me that the surrounding areas are in ruin. I see some people running now. In the opinion of this reporter, if this nation, or in fact the world, ever needed heroes, that time is now. That time is now.
Episode of Aquaman and Firestorm, the Fire and Water Podcast, though there really won't be much Aquaman or Firestorm in this episode. This is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network, by the way. I'm one of your hosts, the Irredeemable Shag, and along with me, as always, is my co-host, the conventionized Rob Kelly. How you doing, buddy?
This episode is going to be a wicked pisser.
That is legitimate Boston speak. We saw it written on billboards, folks. Yes, we are here to talk about the Boston Fan Expo, which we just got back from. Unbelievably, I think everyone here is going through a lot of culture shock of trying to reacclimatize themselves to the regular world. I know for me personally, I got really used to being in a room where for like 4 days straight, everyone understood Martha jokes, where people in my office just don't get it. But we're not doing this alone, are we, Rob?
No, we're not. We have a large contingent of the Boston Fan Expo group with us. We have Ryan Daly. Hi, Ryan.
How's it going?
Tim Price.
Hey, glad to be here, guys.
Keith G. Baker.
Hello there.
Dr. Ange.
Hey, everyone.
And Unicron himself, Derek William Crabb. Hi, Derek.
Hey, it pleases me to be the first.
Rob gets that joke now.
I get it now. I really do.
Well, before we talk to everyone, because it's going to go crazy with everyone's chit-chat and all of Ryan's stories. But anyway, before we do that, folks, we do need to take a second to thank our sponsors. So, this episode of the Fire and Water Podcast is sponsored in part by InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades is your best online source for trades, hardcovers, and other collected editions, all for up to 42% off with free shipping for orders of $50 or more. Now, Rob, what did you bring this week?
I brought a very fun book I didn't even know existed until I went searching for stuff on InStock Trades, and it is the Hasbro Action Figure Aw Yeah Jam by Art Baltazar.
Oh!
Everyone loves Art Baltazar. The go-to guy for serious fun, takes on not-too-serious comics, and now they bring his signature style to Hasbro's Revolution. Meanwhile, in the microspace, the evil Baron Karza searches for a magical ancient relic that is rumored to be the ultimate power of all existence. His search leads him to the Transformers universe. Baron Karza's plan is to attack the Transformers leader, Optimus Prime. He's not on our way. He's our way in. How can he do this? He's so tiny, and the Autobots are so huge. Never underestimate his micro power of evil. This book looks like, oh my God, it looks like such a blast. On the cover, you see Baron Karza. You see Snake Eyes. You see Rom, Optimus Prime, Scarlet. It just, a Croyer. Oh my God, it looks so much fun. The normal price is $14.99 for 80 pages. InStock Trades price, $10.49. You save 30% off. Everyone who listens to this is a fan of old Baltazar because you have a soul. So check this book out. It looks like a ton of fun.
That sounds amazing. I had no idea that book existed, and I love me some Micronauts, and I love me some Baltazar. Oh my gosh. I am definitely going to have to check that out. That sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, I picked something called Perhapsonauts, trade paperback volume one. This collects the first incredible arc of the story. This is the Todd DeZago, and I'm probably saying names wrong, and Craig Russo series that they put out through Image. Perhapsonauts, it is a really interesting story about it's, I forget what the term is, but it's all the mythical or urban legend monsters. You know, you've got like a Sasquatch, you've got like a creature from the Black Lagoon kind of thing. It's all these different, what do they call it? Cryptids, I guess is what you call them. And I was turned on to this by Max Traver. While we were at the convention, Max Traver had this in his arms. And I said, what's that? So he started telling me about it. And I immediately walked – well, not immediately. Within like an hour or two. I walked over to Craig Russo, bought a copy of more recent Perhapsonauts. And this cool little book, which is all – I showed Rob. It's all designed like Ohotmu. You know, it's designed to look like an Ohotmu book, which is really cool. Anyway, this thing looks like super fun. I haven't got a chance to crack it open yet, but I'm so excited. It gets rave reviews by everybody that reads it. So, but perhaps not. Trade paperback volume one is on in-stock trades right now. I've read lots of stuff by Todd DeZago, so I know it's going to be at highest caliber. Page count's 208 pages, full color. Normally $17.99. You can get it for 42% off. So only $10.43 gets you in the door, folks, and that is incredibly great price for a story that looks like an absolute fun. So thanks to Max Traver for that. And if it turns out it sucks, send your complaints to him. So anyway, for these and all of your trade paperback needs, please visit instocktrades.com. Now, Rob, how are we going to wrangle this circus of cats? This is crazy.
I have no idea. We weren't able to do it in Boston. I don't imagine why I'd be able to do it now.
Should we mention who ditched us and didn't show up?
Well, there was a big group in Boston. In fact, I think at one point we had 13 of us around.
Yeah.
But yeah, not joining us that was part of the Boston trip was, as the aforementioned Max Traver, our pal Brian Linton, who I got to meet at the show.
By the way, I met Brian Linton too, but it was only in passing. It was only for like a split second. He was going somewhere with his daughter. I was running somewhere, so but I did get to say hi to him.
Okay. My pal Corey Drew is not with us. And, of course, the Sutherlands, because they, I think, are backstage at Hamilton or some sort of big fancy event or something like that. And Diablo Frank, he was there as well. But, of course, we
– And Ward Hill Terry.
Oh, and Ward Hill Terry.
And Paquita.
There were so many people. Yes. Getting the ball.
So, well, for the folks that we do have here, the ones that bothered to show up, in other words, the ones that are getting their paycheck, we should go around the horn, shouldn't we? What's our starting question, Rob? Start us off.
Let's start with Ryan. Let's see. We'll start by talking about the con itself. We'll go into the larger trip in total. But let's talk about the con specifically, because when we peeked behind the curtain a little bit, when we were deciding what trip to do this year, we had a couple of cons that we could have picked from, and there was another one in Connecticut, the Terrific Con, I believe it's called, which is a little more of a comic con, and this Boston Fam Expo is, I think, slightly less comics and more celebrity driven. But we went for this one because it was Boston, and it seemed exciting. It was in the middle of the city, and it just seemed like really thrilling. So, Ryan, what were your expectations of this show, and what did you think of the experience?
Before I answer that question, I have to go back to your in-stock trades recommendation, and I'm sure that I'm not alone. For everybody listening who is hearing Rob talk about Transformers and name drop characters like Unicron and Optimus Prime, it's not just me, right? That sounds weird and unnatural. Like, to me, it sounds like when my mom is reading like a little golden book Avengers story to my son, and she's name dropping Iron Man and Thanos. It weirds me out. It's like these are two unnatural things. So,
you might say I've been transformed.
Oh, God. He is really leaning into that skit, isn't he?
Rob is more than meets the eye.
I think I can bet everything that happened Saturday night. To your question and the con, Boston was one of the cons that I kind of pitched because it's fairly local for me. It's just a couple hours drive down there, and it's one that I've been to. In fact, I think in the last, I think this is the fourth time I've been there in the last 10 years. Now, it's notable that it used to be Boston Comic Con, and I think this is the second year now, and Ange maybe can correct me, that this is now called Fan Expo. And I think that's telling because in just the few times that I've been there, I have seen the swing from much more focused on comic book creators. And in previous years when I've been there, it's been you know, a large portion of that when you've only had like a few celebrities, like Haley Atwell when she'd only done the first Captain America movie, and maybe like two people from The Walking Dead, and that was it for like pop culture celebrities. And then just in a couple of years, like, we've seen the switch. So I knew, kind of like looking at the list, I was like, if you really wanted to do, you know, immerse yourself in comic book creators and great writers, great artists, the one to go to is the week earlier, Terrificon in Connecticut. But I think, I mean, just kind of talking to a lot of the people here, I mean, we can have that experience almost anywhere, anytime. I mean, we all know the comic book world. Wouldn't it be just better to hang out and have like a sort of social atmosphere of just being together? So, I mean, I think at least I kind of felt like we all kind of went into it like with open eyes that the con could be really, really cool. But even if we never went to the con, I think we all would have had a great time because we talk to each other on a daily or weekly or monthly basis through social media or through our podcasts or things like that. But how often are we ever in the same physical space where, you know, we can like actually touch each other or grope each other in bed? And I'm sorry, Shag. But
I'm in therapy. It's okay.
So that was just that. Yeah, that was really important. The con, I thought like I had a very good experience in the con, and unfortunately, I could only be there 2 days. I was there for just the Friday and Saturday, and then just like at Heroes Con a few years ago, I had to leave early Sunday morning, so I wasn't there for the last day. But just across those 2 days, I had a really good time. But it was all about seeing you guys. So
I just want to follow that up real quick. I think one of the biggest things for me was that sense of community, that sense of family that we created amongst this enormous list of people Rob rattled off there. It sounded like the opening of like a 1970s, you know, special on television. That was the biggest thing, the feeling of friendship and community. And I love you people. It was amazing. It was so heartwarming spending all this time with you guys.
I have a feeling the word family is going to come up more than your average Fast and Furious movie. But let's move on. Tim Price. What did you think about the show in general?
Oh, well, let's see. I actually had a good basis on what to expect because about 3 years ago, I went to the Fan Expo Dallas, and it was very similar kind of in structure and the sort of people they brought in. That show, actually, I had a better experience with the kinds of voice actors and other celebrities that I was actually interested in seeing. There weren't as many at this show that I was really diehard to see, but it was still interesting that they were there. Wish I could have talked to John DiMaggio. That would have been awesome. Mm-hmm. This just wasn't going to work out this time.
It would have been outrageous.
It would have been. That's a good phrase. You should use that, Rob. and I did get to see some great creators along the way at this show. So that was really, really awesome. Got a couple of great commissions. I've shared them on the social medias. And also, it's kind of nice when they're... It's nice when a show has more of an artist alley. I like to see the kind of people who are out there sharing their wares and just the creative things that they can work on. So it didn't have quite as much of that. But as you guys said, it was much more of a chance to socialize with all of you. As most of you know, I didn't stay at the hotel. I had family in the area, so I stayed with them. So I was unfortunately missing the breakfast get-togethers, which kind of stunk, you know. I was really excited. Seeing the tweets and everything about that, it's like, oh man, I'm an hour away, and my ride's not up yet.
Called those our Tim Price bitch sessions, is what those were called.
Oh well, I'd expect nothing less. So
I want to pay $26 for scrambled eggs too.
Exactly.
He's not wrong about that.
That's part of the experience, isn't it? That's the family that suffers together. That's what it's all about, right? But man, I had such a blast with you guys all weekend and just hanging out with you. And you, I still feel like more of the newcomer in this group. I mean, because I haven't known you all that long, and I've just been following the shows for very little. I've had the pleasure of talking to a few of you, including Shag, and well, maybe not Shag. I met a few of you last year's shows, so it was just great to get to get with you all and to make some new friends here this year. That was just fantastic. So I had a great time overall.
T- Tim and I really bonded when we tried to leave the convention center together, and we got lost, even though the hotel is attached to the convention center. I don't know how we managed to do that, but we did. It was me.
If there's a way to get lost and I'm around, I'm sorry. It's going to happen. I break people's GPS. I don't know how that works, but that's what happens. So, that was special.
We learned a lot about each other in those 7 hours. So, Ange, what did you think of the show?
This is local for me. And like Ryan says, I've been going to this show since its inception. And so probably about 10 years ago, it was a very small con in the basement of an insurance building, grew to be a huge Boston Comic Con. And then again, last year switched over to Fan Expo. For me, the strange thing about this show was that with most conventions, I have like missions of commissions that I need to get and running to people's table to get signature. And I have like a whole priority list in my mind.
And oh, he does, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and all of that was taken care of the week before at Terrificon. Terrificon really was, if you look at that guest list, there were like 50 creators there, many of whom I had never met before. And at this con, there was like, 12 or 15 creators that were sort of enough importance for me to sort of like recognize their name. And of them, I had already gotten commissions from like 5 of them. So this was a very laid-back show for me in terms of like meeting creators and getting signatures. And I wasn't really interested in many of the celebrities that were there. So again, the biggest draw, I would have gone regardless, but the biggest draw for this was to just hang out with all of you. So it seemed, believe it or not, smaller to me this year than last year in terms of the whole space on the main floor that was like where the food court was with tables and empty space was filled last year with stores and exhibitors and that sort of stuff. So it seemed a little bit smaller to me than last year's. But overall, I had a great time. And there were people there that I wanted to meet. So, like, I met Dan Slott. I definitely wanted to meet him. I met Lee Bermejo. I really wanted to meet him. You saw me suffering Mark Silvestri's line.
Numerous times.
But overall, I think it was a great show. And, just to, again, sort of jump on what other people have said already, watching Transformers with you, Rob, was fantastic. I just have to say, I feel like this was, before something was in my way of getting into your heart, now your heart is my way in, it's all about the Insecticons. So, but again, overall, just hanging out with all of you guys was great.
The whole Transformers thing is going to come up when we talk about our favorite moments of the show. Guarantee. We'll be getting to that shortly.
I just want to bounce off of what Ian said. Yeah, I mean, folks, he's got like this backpack that weighs about 86 pounds, and it's full of comics to be signed, and they're all organized in like work office envelopes, and it is the most strategic, organized system I've ever seen. And him and his buddy, I mean, they were like tag team men on a mission the first day, and then after that he got to relax a little more. It was just sort of an astounding thing to see. And also, with you being a local, Ange, I just want to express a personal thank you from all of us for inviting us to stay at your house and save money. Thanks for doing that. Oh wait, never mind.
I have to I'll just say again, like, for me, that is the most relaxed I've ever been in a con. So when everybody was like, oh my god, you're so overly organized and you're like on a mission and what is your big get, I'm like, you don't want to be with me on a standard Friday at a con if you think this is high intensity. This is like me at 0 and I'm usually at 10. So I found it all very amusing.
I was very impressed that Ange changed his rubber gloves in between each convention goer that he met. I thought that was very sanitary. I appreciated that.
Thanks for taking off that growth on me. That was great.
Yeah.
There was a lot of time in the Silvestri line. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Keechee Becker, what did you think of the show overall?
Well, I really don't have a huge reference for this show because I'm not a real con goer. I mean, I think this is maybe the fourth or fifth time I've been to a con of any kind. So I really didn't have a lot of expectations going in. Like everybody already said, the main reason to go was the list of you guys who were going to be there and just a chance to hang out. Cause if really knows me, I'm a big hanger outer, especially around the waistline. So, just the chance to go back to Boston, because I'd been to Boston a couple years ago with the family, and now to go up there without any real supervision of me was a good chance. So the only thing I have really to compare this particular con to is, when you guys first met up was my first planned con, and that was in Charlotte at Heroes Con. But I kind of slipped into one a little bit before that. The Sutherlands kind of broke me into one here in Durham, North Carolina. So I went to that one, which was is a real small con just mainly comic creators. And that broke me in. And then I went to Heroes Con, which I found since then, I've heard since then, is a pretty big con. And then I went to met you guys up in Baltimore, and now I'm met everybody up in Boston. So I don't see a lot of difference in the cons, other than, like you guys said, that this one's more heavy toward the media side than the comic side. But I had a ball, and my main reason for going was just to hang out with everybody. I had a couple of sketches done and stuff like that, which I guess I'll talk about later. But, you know, just hanging out in Boston and hanging out with people that I genuinely get along with and don't get to see that much was my main reason for going. And I checked those boxes off. So, you know, all in all, it was a great trip, other than Ange not letting us stay at his place. So that was...
Yeah, there was that. Yeah,
I gotta say, Keith, you know, as someone who's new to con going, if you get a chance to hang out with Keith, folks, ask to see his sketchbooks. I mean, you say you're new, but you got a hell of a sketchbook already built up of really, really great commissions. And I just want to echo how much I enjoyed seeing Keith. And yeah, the antibiotics came through and really did the job, cleaned it all up. So thanks.
Well, what were you saying? Well, that's
just going to say that. There's that line about the straightest distance, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Pro tip, if you're ever near Keith G. Baker and you want to find liquor, just go to Keith G. because he will find it no matter where he is. He will be able to find it the shortest distance and the soonest, because we were actually, and we'll get into this in a little bit, we took a sojourn over to Cheers, and we essentially couldn't get into Cheers, and somehow Keith immediately knew where another bar was that we could go and drink at, which was just unbelievable. I don't know how he even noticed that. It was really unbelievable.
It's like a superpower.
Well it's actually the Irish in me, so, you know, it kind of falls to me sometimes.
I was also going to say, I mean, all respect to Keith, but it's Boston. Oh, this bar is closed. Wherever would we find another bar?
That's a good point.
That's true.
Well, all right. So finally, Derek, what did you think of the con in general? You're a seasoned convention goer.
I am, and you know, this was a low key con for me because I didn't bring the poster tube. I was just kind of hanging out with you guys most of the time. I had a really good time at the con. I've said this repeatedly. I think the main reason why I enjoyed this convention, I'm like, Boston Fan Expo was 1,000 times better because I went there last year because all you guys were there. So I frequently had these moments where I just had to sort of sit back and take it all in. And I just had these moments where this is super awesome, just being with everybody and being able to sort of soak it all in. As far as like the con itself, I mean, the hotel's great. The venue's great. Like there's electric sockets for people that need to charge their phones. There's all kinds of cool stuff at the actual venue. I feel maybe, I don't know if Ange has any pain over it, but I mean, I feel that pain of like, I remember when there used to be local cons out here, the San Jose Big Wow, and then it turned into this Silicon Valley, you know, fan show or whatever it's called now. And it's just one of those things where you're kind of like, oh, this got bought out by a multimedia conglomerate, and now there's going to be tons of celebrities and less comic stuff. So if you're into it for that aspect, like I feel the pain of like, there's not, you know, obviously it's like, well, if you want to do the real comic show, you go over to Terrificon. Like that's what makes the most sense. So from that aspect, I sort of get it. And then of course the fan expo, like, way to get inside. Like, I don't think you or Tim should blame yourself at all, because it's like, there's, you talk about the shortest path is a straight line. Like, there are no straight lines purposely at Fan Expo because they destroy them all. I mean, even me, I was there before and I knew, oh, if you take the hotel and you take the escalator, you can go straight in. But of course, who's there? A guy going, sorry, sir, this is for exits only. And you're like, I'm right here. Why are you blocking me? But whatever. And it's like, oh, it's just fine. Go down the escalator, make a U-turn, walk 50 feet down this hall, go up this escalator, then make a U-turn, go down the hall, and then go down this other escalator, and then you get to the con floor. Oh, thanks. You know, so it's like there's that aspect to it. So
he wasn't making up those directions either, folks. That was legit.
So it's not anybody's fault that they get lost, because nobody you don't get a real sense of where you are, because you're constantly it's like they put the blindfold on you, you turn you around like three times and they're like, no, go into the con, frolic and stuff. So but I love being there with you guys at the con, and for the creators that were there that I got to spend some time with, it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Shag, didn't we end up in a parking garage or something with some cops at some point?
We got similar directions and we followed everything they told us to do. Yeah, we ended up in a parking garage with nowhere to go. Now, in hindsight, I think, Keith, if we had gone out through the parking garage and gone around the building, we would have ended up where they wanted us to. But it was just ludicrous. Yes, the quickest way was through the Westin Hotel once we all figured that out.
I was going to say, on my first day there, that they gave me directions to get to the con, and one of the directions included, oh, and you'll see a ton of people down there, so you can't miss it. I get down into that parking garage, and there's nobody. It is just a wasteland of nothing. And it's like, where are these people? That was just nuts. Well, and I also have to tell on Rob for a second, though, because when we got lost, he swore me not to say a thing about us getting lost on that. And I left, and at the first opportunity he had, you spilled the beans on us. So it's like, that's fine, it's cool.
There are no secrets on a podcast, Tim.
There you go.
Feel better. That's how I got to Siskoid in Canada. I was actually trying to find the Boston Fan Expo and just ended up. Well, Rob, what did you think of the show?
I don't have anything terribly original now because we got the input from all 17 of our guests. But, I mean, the show – the show was actually – had a little more comic book components to it than I thought. I mean, when I looked at the website really plays up the celebrities. And I kind of thought that the show was going to be almost half celebrity. And it really was. And it was mostly comics. And then you had the autographs people – tucked over kind of off to one side, and they were all kind of grouped together. And I mean, I couldn't believe John Travolta was there. Like, that's a big get. I was like, wow, that's like a big name to get.
He really got lost.
Yeah. I enjoyed all the comic book portion of it. I mean, it really was to go and hang out with everybody and see Boston. I have not been to Boston in almost 20 years, so that was fun. The hotel was great. I love staying in hotels. That is just like, I don't get to do it a lot. And I just love it. I mean, when Corey and I went to L.A. A couple of months ago, he had brought up, maybe should we Airbnb it? And I was like, no. I want to stay at a hotel, even if it costs more. To me, that's part of the experience. So it was enormously fun to be able to kind of go back and relax and chill out. And, like, you know, to be honest, like, once in a while, if I'm walking around too much, like, I'm going to go lay down for an hour and go back out. You know, I mean, it was – and being kind of close to a lot of places to eat, it was just – yeah, that was really – and it was just this sort of rolling party. And the group – it was kind of like the Blob. Like, it just gets bigger and bigger as it grabs people as it moves down the street and just pick people up and got larger and larger. At one point, we literally just grabbed Terry O'Malley, and he just became part of the group at that point. We're like, come to dinner with us, Bert.
That was a real moment. We were just walking down the street to go to dinner, and I just see some giant man walking towards us from the shadows and shouting, podcasters! I'm like, this is the weirdest mugging I've ever been part of. Ward Hill Terry, yeah.
If you're a mugger and you know we're podcasters, you know we have no money, so I don't know why you'd be trying to mug us.
One more thing about the con was, and Tim and I commented on this when we were walking around on the last day, is it's a finite space, right? And you walk up and down everything in the first day or whatever. I swear, every single, you know, day, I'd be on an aisle and look around and go, I don't know how this is possible, but I've never been on this aisle before. And that kept happening over and over and over. And so there's more to see than you think.
That's
oh, yeah,
true.
There was a bunch of times I was like, wait, where was the DeLorean from Back to the Future? Was it over there? Like, yeah.
I was like, that's true. I'm still seeing photos today where I was like, I didn't know there was a TARDIS there.
It was on an end cap, man. You just clearly weren't paying attention.
No, it's funny. On the last day when you guys texted me and you were like, hey, we're getting all of these end of the con photos together. Meet us in aisle 1300. I was like, there's an aisle 1300? And then you go down there and there were like all of these like backdrops that you can take photos on. There was like one that was like a medieval setting and then the one that, you know, that has all of Boston Fan Expo on. I was like, boy, I guess I just never been down to that far corner the entire show. So
it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So it's the gift that keeps on giving. It's like, like the Jelly of the Month Club.
Let's anybody have a particular favorite purchase, either a sketch or something you bought or something you didn't expect to find? Or did anybody have, like, let me start with, we ended with Derek, so let's start with Derek. Derek, like, of all the stuff that you got, do you have a particular favorite in terms of, like, the object or the experience itself of getting it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy with the commission I got from Mark Teixeira. Like, it was of Maxima, but
shocker.
Yeah, I mean, shocker of shocks, I got a commission of Maxima. But it's funny because I wasn't really sure. Like, honestly, like I went down there with the intention of maybe commissioning Art Adams to do a Maxima, and since he put me on his list, but it was one of those things where I think it filled up. Even, you know, we were all in there first thing Friday, but it had already sort of filled up. And he says, "Oh, normally I get to 10. I'll put you on the list anyway, just in case, you know, somebody drops off or whatever." But I was sort of hedging my bets, and at some point I was just kind of like, you know what? I really love Mark Teixeira's art, and I was like, oh, I'll go over and ask him if his list was open, and it was. So I just figured, I'll hedge my bets. If I end up having to pay for both, then, you know, so be it. But it actually worked out where, you know, I got the commission from Mark, and it turned out great.
Dude, you are underselling that. That commission of Maxima is astonishing. It's gorgeous. It is top-notch professional. It is sexy as hell. Now, it's a redhead, so I'm biased. But, wow, I mean, that was an amazing commission.
He's funny. He doesn't want to let it go, you know? Like, he still wanted to work on it. It was like Sunday at, like, 4:58. The con is, like, closing. And he's kind of like, no, there's a few more things. We've got to do a little more, you know? And it was just like, I guess that's just the kind of guy he is, where it's like it's never really finished, you know, like there's always something else he wants to do to it. So, I mean, from that aspect, I mean, you feel like you got your money's worth where he put so much love and care in it, and he still would want to put more love and care into it. I don't mean to undersell it. It is really, there's a lot of love and care placed into that piece, and I definitely appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Ange, of the 450 signatures you got, what was your favorite?
This was a low-key con. I'm telling you, you guys will freak out if you ever go with me to someplace bigger. The two things that I'll say, or there are a couple of things. So one, I got Becky Cloonan's signature on Harley Quinn number 0, which I think is the 10th signature I have on that Jam issue. So that's pretty cool. And that was the one signature that I knew that if I was going to get one signature there, she would be the one that I would want. So that was really big. From a purchase point of view, I got Action Comics number 2, which is a book that I've always looked for and have never really seen in the wild, in that rare combination of decent condition, decent price.
What was that number? And, you dropped off for a second, Ange. What was the issue number?
Sorry, Action 261.
Early days. Okay.
I was going to drop in Action Comics number 1 in that little moment. Thanks for ruining that joke.
No. 261, the first appearance of Supergirl's cat, which is sort of an important issue for her. So that was a big purchase. And then the other stuff that I loved was seeing Derek had that fold-out wizard thing with all of the major wizard creators on it that he got Mark Silvestri to sign, and then did not get Todd McFarlane to sign. But from everything that I saw that you guys got, that was definitely the coolest thing, because there were, I think Jim Lee was on it, and Eric Larson, and Wills Portacio. And so to see that collection of signatures on like a early Image poster was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, just because I didn't get Todd McFarlane, I didn't feel like super bad about it or anything, because I, you know, in retrospect, like if you think about it, I'm like, I've been to three or four cons where supposedly I would have had the opportunity to get a Jim Lee signature. So it took me like three or four cons before I actually got a con where I could get him to sign something. So I'm not kind of shocked by that. You know, the way I look at it, maybe three or four cons from now, there'll be some, you know, Todd McFarlane experience, and then I'll actually get it signed. So I'll worry about it later.
Keith, what about you?
Well, let's see. My whole plan also was for this to be kind of a low-key thing, just to hang out with folks. So when I was packing up to go, I was looking at the guest list, and the name that jumped out at me was that Ty Templeton would be there, and I hadn't had a chance to meet and talk with him yet. So I stuck just a couple of issues. It took me a while. I was just going to take one or two things for him to sign, but I ended up taking three. I took like the Who's Who Update 88 with everybody doing a barbecue outside. And actually, he told me when he was signing that's actually his mom's backyard.
That's awesome.
That's based on, and that the character sitting on the roof is something that he used to do as a kid. And, you know, if you look over to the side, you see some water on the ground. That's because that's where a pool used to be in the back in her backyard. But he said the pool's filled in. He's a chatter, it turns out. So
yeah, he is.
but I also got two of the Secret Origins signed from him. One of them, I think Tim got signed also, which was the Legion of Substitute Heroes, Dr. Light, Secret yes. Origins, and then the final Secret Origins issue where they're packing up all the logos and stuff. So, I mean, those were the ones that in my head that screamed Ty Temple. So I was going to get him to sign those. And then right before I left, I was like, well, let me take sketchbooks, you know, just in case. And maybe he'll have time to do a sketch for me or something. So Friday, walked straight up to him, asked him about doing the sketch, and I got on his list. So I think I ended up not picking it up till Sunday, though. But I got a Ralph and Sue Dibney from him, which was just beautiful. He colored it and everything. It's, you know, it's Ralph stretching, giving her a peck on the cheek. It's basically what I think comics should be still. So that kind of fits in this book. I have another you know, kind of shipping kind of thing in this book. So maybe this book will end up turning out to be a shipping sketch book. Who knows? But it turned out right beside Ty was Alex Saviak, which you know, I luckily stuck a couple sketchbooks in there. So what I did was I got him to do an airway for me, since he was one of the he was the guy that redesigned airway in the 70s, I think, whatever, 77, 78. So somewhere around there when I was a kid, the old Airwave in the green outfit was changed over to the one in the blue and yellow outfit, which was like his son. So I got him to draw an Airwave. He's smiling. He's streaking through the air. And, you know, just finding artists who, you know, will draw smiling and nice figures that actually make you feel good kind of makes me feel good when I flip through and look at it. I guess I could have gotten somebody to draw me a Batman who laughs, or, you know, something like that. But that's just not my bag. So
those sketches are awesome. I mean, they're really exceptional, both of those.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I especially like the Ralph and Sue Dibney one. You know, it reminds me of a time back when I used to read comics. We used to read new comics. I have nothing else to say. I'm just sitting here stuttering. So,
Tim, what about you?
Keith, I definitely hit up Ty Templeton for those signatures, like you mentioned before, and I got my own sketch from him of Blue Beetle, which came out just fantastic. I love how that worked out.
Oh yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah, oh yeah, I've got to gush a little bit on your Ralph and Sue, because it for people who haven't seen it, it is so sweet. They're just cuddling together, and Ralph is stretching his lips to give her a little peck on the cheek. It's adorable, you know. He captured them so well. But that, and the Beetle sketch, oh, it is dynamic. It's got the goggles just so, and it's a great dynamic pose. It turned out just fantastic. I was also lucky enough to get a sketch from Steve Rude while I was there. I had a sketch comic of Future Quest number one that I could, and so he agreed to put a sketch on that one of Space Ghost. And for those of you who know what his Nexus looks like, oh, his Space Ghost looks just as good. So that was quite the coup. I loved getting that.
That Space Ghost was phenomenal. I really dug that. That was the first one you got, wasn't it?
Yes, it was the first one I got. He got it done the same day. I mean, I dropped it off first thing Friday, and he had it done. You know, I went back at 4 o'clock just on a lark to see how it was going. He's like, "Oh, it's done." So that was just phenomenal. And so those were the big sketches. But also, I kind of a pleasant surprise. I paid a little bit to get a comic signed by Mark Texeira, and he put a little sketch on the cover in addition to the signature. So it just that was just a really fun get in the to receive, and just for a simple signature, that was all I expecting. So that turned out really great. That was a fun little find right there.
I just got to chime in there. Yeah, you mentioned the Ty Templeton thing, and Keith mentioned Ty's a chatter. Just a quick comment. If you ever get a chance to go see Ty Templeton, wait till his wife walks away. Because the way it works is his wife is a taskmaster for him because Ty likes to chat. So his wife says, "Come on, Ty, you can talk, but you have to sign. You have to draw." And she keeps him moving. Well, Tim and I are in line together, and we get up there. Literally right as we get to Ty, she leaves. And so there's a line behind us, but Ty sat there and talked to Tim and I for 30 minutes. No exaggeration. It was unbelievable. We had this wonderful back and forth with them. And then literally as we walk away from the table, the wife walked back. So and everyone behind us hates us. So little con going tip for you.
That's right. I think you even got a little audio snippet, I think, from Ty's conversation. I hope that turned out well.
It did, and folks will hear that on a future Who's Who episode.
Woo!
Nice. Yeah, we kept looking over, and like Tim, you guys were just there the whole time. We're like, wow, God, that line hasn't moved.
It was an awesome conversation. Yeah. It really was.
It was so much fun.
It was pretty crazy to say. And I'll just have to, if I can echo about that sketch of the Dibneys, like you can totally tell that Sue is always on Ralph's mind, just like Jean is always on Sue's mind. Literally.
Wasn't that Ange you hung up on?
Oh, so strange. I'd say let's hand this over to Ryan now. Ryan, what was your favorite get of the show?
I can't think of anything. I had a couple of them. I went with a few signatures in mind, figuring I would be in line for a long time, and I got most of them done like in the first 20 minutes that we were there. So then I was just kind of like, I'm like, all right, well, let me, I would like to get a commission. And in previous cons, I had kind of gone around just trying to get as many as I could. And I usually went with like smaller artists and everything. I was like, cause I want to fill up the sketchbook fast. So let me get, you know, a quick little head sketch that, you know, costs $25 to $40 or something like that from somebody who's not charging a whole lot. And I'll just get like a bunch of them. And now part of the reason I used to do that when I would go to cons was I only went for one day. Like this is, you know, once like Heroes Con, now this one, these are the first times where I could give somebody a sketchbook and say, take your time, I'll be back tomorrow. I used to not be able to do that. So I wouldn't give a sketchbook to somebody and like, you know, expect it back right away. So this time I was like, you know, I'm not going to get a bunch of, you know, cheaper sketches, even if they really look good. I'm going to invest. I'm just going to try and get one really good one, full body shot in color, whatever it costs or something like that. And so I'm just kind of walking down our artist alley after getting some signatures from Dan Slott, and I'm talking to Shag, and we just kind of stopped, not intentionally, but we stopped next to Scott Hanna. And he was just kind of looking up. He's like, hey, you can walk near me. I don't bite or anything like that. Yeah, so we kind of approached and we just kind of got suckered in and started to talk to him. And at some point, the conversation just kind of went, you know, he talked about how he got a terrible grade in an art class or something. Like he almost failed out of an art class or something. And he's like, at that point, he knew.
Him too?
Yeah. He's like, I either want to be an artist, but I considered being like a marine biologist or something like that.
Yep.
And that kind of like put in mind, I was like, oh, marine biologist. And for some reason, I was like, all right, I'm going to get, and it would be more topical if I went with an Aquaman sketch, but I was like, I want a sketch of Namor, the Submariner. So I gave him the sketchbook, and I picked it up Saturday morning, and it looks terrific. I post a picture of it. It's my Twitter avatar, so you can see it. But I love it. It's a great little sketch. I was really, really happy with that one. And then the only other purchase, I've been on like a Silver Surfer kick lately, so I was just kind of like wandering around looking at some of the early issues from the Stan Lee John Buscema run from the 60s, and you know, like the issue 1 and issue 4, these are going for like thousands of dollars and everything, like not cheap. But I actually found a copy of Silver Surfer issue 3 for a reasonable amount of money, considering that's the very first appearance of Mephisto. Wow. And if anybody wants to know what Mephisto sounds like, ask Tim Price, because he is very familiar with the voice of Mephisto from a previous podcast.
I don't know what to talk about. What do you mean? I don't know what to talk about.
But this copy was affordable because, like, the cover had been ripped down the side, or like, it was like ripped off of the spine, but it's still there, and everything else it's pretty good condition. So I got a copy of Silver Surfer issue 3, which was really, really cool, and I like having that in my collection. And then, yeah, I bought like a bunch of other stuff, but between those two things, like that one comic and then the Scott Hanna commission of Namor were really my two, the things that I was proudest, to pick up and purchase.
Chag, what about you? You haven't mentioned what you got.
Oh, I got a ton of stuff. I'm going to rattle off a couple of them and then I'll tell a story. Ryan, he told a story about Scott Hanna. It's actually Ryan's fault that I spent a crap ton of money at this convention. Thank you so much, Ryan. He gave me the bug for commissions because we're talking to Scott Hanna, and I remembered, wait a minute, he was the inker on the Will Payton Starman series. And I love that book. So I got him to do a head sketch of Will Payton, which was awesome. Then, of course, Ty Templeton. I got Big Barda. I got a full figure in color of that, which was great. I went over to Bill Walco, who's this great independent comic artist. He did a Blue Devil for me. So, yeah, it's all thanks to Ryan that my wallet's a lot emptier. So thanks for that, buddy. Then, you know, I got to meet Peter Capaldi for 2.3 seconds, which was really special. That's the very first new series doctor that I've met and actually stood next to at any point. So that was really cool for me. And Zachary Levi was so charming. I mean, I loved how during his talk, he kept referring to the character of Shazam he played in the movie. He kept calling him Captain Marvel. So I was like, oh, that's nice. I like that. That's good. We all went out for Teyaki New York City ice cream, the ice cream in a fish cone, which we all died for, and we went back for multiple times. It was wonderful. But the story I wanted to tell was kind of a weird one. We were in the celebrity area, and over there is William Daniels. And of course, William Daniels is the voice of Kit. I mean, everyone knows Kit from Knight Rider, right? He's the voice of Kit, and he's from St. Elsewhere. And we're in Boston. So, okay, that makes sense. But he's really there to promote Boy Meets World. And there's a huge long line for him. Oddly enough, his line was longer than all the rest of the Boy Meets World celebrities. So that's pretty cool. Either way, we're all standing there talking. And I look, and there's a woman sitting next to him. And I'm like, I think you were there, Rob, weren't you? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm like, who's that? And I started getting a sense for it. And they're like, oh, that's his wife. She's on a couple of his shows. I'm like, and everyone's kind of downplaying it. I'm like, no, she's important. And I started having an actual emotional reaction because his wife is her real name is Bonnie Bartlett, and she's an actress as well. And yes, she's been in stuff with him and in minor roles here and there and done a lot of things. But for me, she was in the original V miniseries. She played kind of a minor character, Lynn Bernstein, who was the mother of this little crappy guy named Daniel, who betrayed his family and joined kind of the Visitor Hitler Youth thing. Anyway, the story of the Bernsteins in V is really the emotional core of the whole movie. That really tells the analog to the Holocaust. I mean, they put a pin in it. They don't even try and hide it. Or hang a lantern on it, I'm sorry. They don't even try and hide it, the Holocaust comparisons. And the story of her family is just really – and gets me all the time. And my daughter's reading a book for school about the Holocaust, so we've been drawing parallels with V and the Holocaust and just talking about these things. So I – seeing this woman sitting there, I had an emotional reaction, which I don't usually have to celebrities. So I went through the line, the William Daniels line, got up there, and I'm like, I just want a picture with his wife. And they're all kind of like, really? I'm like, yeah. So I went and told her the story about my daughter and the Holocaust and V and all that. And she seemed to really appreciate it. And then I got my picture with both of them and then quickly cropped out William Daniels from the picture. I guess I cropped out Kit from my photo. But it's kind of silly, but it meant a lot to me, I guess, because of the connection to V and just that I felt something. So that was really special.
Do you see that elbow? That's the elbow of the guy that was in The Graduate.
That's exactly right. So that was my big get that I was just floating on cloud nine afterward. What about you?
My baguette was actually, I don't really bother to purchase things when I go to these cons because, you know, I can just get it all on eBay for the most part. And you generally pay more at a convention anyway. I did buy a couple of fun comics, but probably the best takeaway was a gift from Derek William Crabb, which was the IDW Transformers Treasury Edition, which I did know existed. I did not purchase it, but it was literally the first thing out of his bag when I saw him at the show on Friday. By the way, we had this running gag, of course, about Derek and his awesome Transformers jacket, and we had this thing where we said that the jacket was only appearing on Saturdays, and I'll be damned if Derek did not stick to the joke and only wore the jacket on Saturdays. We took a photo of Derek handing me the Transformers comic and me not looking thrilled, and he's in this really cool, like, Indiana Jones duster type thing. And I took the picture and I sent it to my girlfriend Kelly, and her first reaction was, "Where's the jacket?" So that, and it's sitting here next to me as I'm recording this, and we will be doing a Treasury cast on it. Woo! And I'm going to give the book its due diligence because as we talked about earlier on, I am slightly a different version of Transformers fan than I was when I started. But again, we can get to all that in a moment. Did we cover everybody but what they got at the convention? Is there anybody we left out?
Besides any case of STDs that she picked up there. I mean, Rob did share a bed with Corey. Let's just, I mean, just put it out
luckily,
there.
Well, luckily we have a doctor here. He can check us out. It'll be fine. I guess, do we want to talk about, like, what else we want to talk about, Shag? Is the overall experience?
You've been baiting it. You've been hooking everybody along the whole episode. You got to tell the Transformers story.
All right. Okay. All right. I mean, I told Derek and Dr. Ange a while back that if they could put it together, if they could get a copy of the Transformers movie, I would watch it with them, and we would maybe even record a podcast while I was watching it. And Derek, to his word, brought the movie with him, and it was kind of amazing because when I initially said I was going to do it, I thought it was really just going to be me and Derek and Ange, like, watching it on, like, a tablet. You know, very, very humble kind of circumstances. And this thing ended up being Saturday night, and this group just grew into the point where we had, what, I think 9 or 11 people crammed in our hotel room, all getting ready for this thing. And it just became this giant effort where we tried to get the movie to go from being on the tablet onto the giant flat screen in the room, and we tried to figure out a thumb drive, and there was this remote control that Shag could not figure out to save his life, and he's sitting there.
That's not a lie. That's true.
He's sitting there poking at it like the apes in the beginning of 2001 with the monolith, and where everybody's yelling at him, and it really became this wonderful group effort where Tim took charge of getting the food, which was good. We decided to get pizza, and he decided he's going to take over and doing that, and then, of course, Keith realized that he could order it via his YouTube account. We could rent the movie. So we ended up renting it over YouTube, and we sat all, bunch of us sitting on the floor and in the bed. The Sutherlands were there. Frank and the Paquita were there. And we sat and just watched Transformers the movie, which is
we should be specific. The 1986 animated.
Yeah, the 1986 one. Yes, of course. Well, because that's the one with Orson Welles that Gutierrez loves pointing out is Orson Welles' last film, which it isn't, by the way. You're all wrong about that. But nevertheless,
you got to mention, we put this on Twitter, right, that we're doing this, or Facebook, and the first few minutes of the film actually get interrupted by a phone call from David Gutierrez going, are you serious? Is this really happening?
Oh, that's right. That's right. I took a picture of me doing my best Charlton Heston at the end of Planet of the Apes. That's right.
I don't think Gutierrez said it's Orson Welles' last movie. I think he said it's the movie that killed Orson Welles.
But yeah, I'm not even dignifying that with a response. So anyway, we sat and watched the movie, and I mean, I said this on Twitter. You have not lived until you've had Dr. Ange sitting next to you reciting lines from the Transformers movie as it's playing out in front of you. I really got to admire how deeply into the nerd well Ange is willing to go with this. He's just so excited to watch this movie. So we sat and watched it, and my ultimate takeaway, we didn't end up recording anything because we're going to kind of do something separate later. But my takeaway from the Transformers movie was, it is not the movie that I always dismissed it as being. I thought the movie was just like a 90-minute toy commercial, and it isn't. It's actually, I would say, a lot more sophisticated than that, a lot crazier than that. We don't want to spoil anything for those of you who haven't seen it. But it's there was a lot more to it than I gave it credit for. So while I will not say that I'm a Transformers fan, because I didn't know what was going on at any given point, other than one big thing in the middle, the Hitchcockian turn, as Ange likes to say. There was a lot more to it than I appreciated, and I did enjoy it. And I also have to give credit to Ryan and Derek, who really gave me some amazing context for this movie. I mean, the idea that like Hasbro just thought they could do what they did and just be like, well, we're just going to schlep a bunch of new toys in here. These kids don't care about these boxes. And the kids did care about the boxes. And now, having explained the movie, now I'm dying to see the G.I. Joe movie. That is the next big thing.
Okay, Rob, you're dancing around spoilers for a 33-year-old movie. I think it's okay.
No, well, Shag, you say that, but we identified that out of 9 people sitting watching the movie, 5 of them had never seen it. We're like,
that's a good
wait
point.
A minute, where's the mic?
This is correct. We're outnumbered.
Well, and a few of them got up and left the movie halfway through. That's fair to point out too.
Yeah, Ruth Sutherland bailed
as soon as Frank and Petakita showed up. Ruth was just like, "Oh, I need to talk about something."
Keith, what was you hadn't seen it either. What was your reaction to the movie? I think you fell asleep during part of it. Did you not?
Yeah, I did. Transformers missed me, I think, by a few years. I knew about it. I knew kind of peripherally some of the characters. I didn't know what was going on. I don't know why, you know, some of the characters changed into other characters other than changing into trucks and back and forth. But the story itself, from what I was watching, actually held my interest for a while until the pew-pew stuff started and stuff like that, the shoot 'em up, and that just kind of gets monotonous after a while. But like, overall, it was a better movie than I really gave it credit for. When I heard that this was going to be going on, I was like, eh. And then I heard that there was going to be pizza and stuff, so I was like, "Yeah, maybe I'll check out the movie." So, but actually, it surprised me, and it held my interest a lot longer than I really thought it should have. But yeah, I was, and especially like Rob said, hearing the backstory about the tie-in with the toys and stuff, and how Hasbro just thought they could just bring in new toys and kill off all the other ones and nobody would care, and how it really traumatized a whole generation of youth. That was really interesting to me, and added a new layer to it before we watched the show. So, you know,
Say, Keith, you mentioned falling asleep. Now, was your enjoyment of the movie diminished at all when you woke up in a bathtub of ice and the kidney being missing, or did that affect it at all?
Well, I wouldn't have minded that so much because, you know, I've been in situations like that before, but the fact that you were still there and licking my ear was a problem.
We needed the money to pay for the pizza. It was coming from somewhere.
Well, nobody's going to steal Keith's liver, that's for sure. That's worthless, I would say, at this point.
No, that's gone. I need a trade-in. Yeah. That's a
really good one. No, I mean, Ryan and Derek provided, like, nearly an audio commentary, which I thought was fascinating. And to be honest, we will do a Film and Water on Transformers the Movie, and I'm hoping to replicate that experience because – of course, a lot of people who are part of the Fire and Water family, both the nuclear part of it, nice. And then the extended family, they definitely, some of them talked to us about how they had FOMO going on as they were watching all these pictures, and they were like, oh man, I wish I could have been there. And we will have that experience. I will never forget sitting there on the bed, having Derek explain to me in explicit detail all of this stuff, but I would love for other people to experience that, because I just don't want to be one of the only eight other people that got to enjoy that. So we will be doing some sort of Film and Water on it, that I promise. I'm not sure when, but we will do it, because that was just a total blast. And I said it during the 3-hour talk I had with Ryan about my personal life, that this year I am saying yes to lots of new things. That has been my goal for this year. And Transformers is maybe a small version of that, but nevertheless, it was not, maybe something I wouldn't have agreed to not that long ago. But now I'm like, yeah, let me sit there and watch this. And I'm glad I did, because that was a blast, sitting in that room just laughing so hard at that movie. That was I won't say it was like the most fun of the trip, because I had fun from beginning to end, but it was definitely a highlight. It was just a totally find your joy moment.
So weird. A bunch of nerds at a huge convention in Boston all decided to sit in a hotel room and watch a 30-year-old cartoon on TV. It turned out to be as fun as it was.
That's what a bunch of nerds do, basically.
Except at Dragon Con. I hear there's a lot different things that nerds do there. So, you know.
We'll ask Bailey. He's going to it in a couple of weeks.
Well, we'll be able to talk about that next year when Fire and Water Network goes to Dragon Con. So Ryan, of course, you need to talk about your trip that you made related to one of your podcasts.
Bless all of you guys for coming along with me, because I really I was prepared to do this all by myself, going on my own little side trip to Cheers. And that had been something that I had been talking about. I was like, it would be great to, you know, go to the actual Cheers bar location. And for those of you, I mean, there's the actual bar called the Bull, or it used to be called the Bull and Finch. It is now called Cheers. They've sort of rechristened it, where ostensibly the bar within the show was sort of like based on this. It does not look like that if you actually go downstairs, but all of the exterior shots, all of the footage within the show always like showed like this one particular street corner on Beacon. So you can go there. And I thought, you know what, if I go with like, you know, maybe two other people or something like that, maybe we can get a table or something and just kind of like record something. Well, there were eight of us. Once we get there, and it was great, like we walked down to the train station, we got on the subway to go downtown, and then crossed through the Boston Commons Park, which is a beautiful little outdoor area. If I hadn't been so focused and being on a mission, I would have like to take a lot more pictures around there. But once we get there, we took some pictures outside. I went downstairs, which was, as I told you guys later on, was sort of a transformative experience, actually walking down those stairs where occasionally you would see like the actors walking down there, and then stepping inside. And again, like the actual inside of the place looks nothing like the bar from the show, because for one thing, the bar on the show is way too big. We occasionally mention that, but that set is way too big. Like this place was tiny. And I was like, what are the chances of like seven or eight people getting a table? She's like, oh yeah, 2 hours. I'm like, okay, we're hungry. We're not going to wait that. So I told you guys, I was like, I'm not going to subject you guys to this. But I did go, because right upstairs, there is a sort of gift shop, but also a replica of the bar area. And again, this one is actually much, much smaller, but you see kind of like the bar and the stools and the walls, the atmosphere is a little bit more laid out to resemble the bar, except it's on the ground floor, so you have natural sunlight coming in, which is different. But kind of like walking in there and taking that in, that was just really cool. And again, I was sort of like so overwhelmed that I didn't take nearly as many pictures of that as I would have liked to. But just kind of being in there just felt really cool. And then as soon as we were done with that, I was like, okay, let's actually get some food and something to drink, and we can like talk, because, you know, this, like I've been here, I've been to this spot. I can come back some other time and do stuff for the podcast if I need to. Now let's do what the real rewarding thing here was, just hanging out with you guys and having a meal. So like, you know, like a bloodhound, Keith was like, okay, this bar is right here. We have to go back across the common. And he just led us all back that direction. And that was cool. And then But even before that, there was a sort of satellite Cheers bar in Quincy Market, which is at Faneuil Hall, more of a sort of like tourist shopping plaza area. And there's like a little gift shop there, but that is actually also replicated to look like the Cheers bar. And we had been there the day before, and Shag got a few pictures of me there sitting on the stool. At first, I was in the corner where Norm would usually sit, and I realized nobody takes Norm's stool, so I had to like shift over one. Yeah, it was really cool just to kind of like be there, be in that space, sort of like breathe that air and walk down those steps into like that sort of that underground below level bar. And yeah, and I would still at some point love to go back there sometime, maybe with a smaller group and do an actual recording of some type. But just for what it was, this was really cool. And again, just part of it, the fun was just walking over there with you guys and then getting back on the subway and kind of leading everybody back there. That was, you know, that was really cool. And just, you know, having that, we were sort of like forgetting because such a big part of our group throughout the weekend are people not on this call, which are the Sutherlands and Frank and Paquita. And the Sutherlands, we say this every time, but they're like offensively polite and compassionate people, like, to the point that it's like suspicious. But yeah, they were terrific the whole time, and you know, could not be better con companions, and just kind of like just generally just walking down the street and talking to them and hanging out with them, and Frank too.
Never would have found Teyaka or whatever it is, the ice cream, if it weren't for them.
Yeah, yeah.
So. At one point during the con, we were walking somewhere, and just out of nowhere, Corey turned to me. He was talking to the Sutherlands, and then they pulled ahead a little, and he turned to me and he goes, "They are wonderful." He just said it like that. Yeah, pretty much.
That was the other funny experience, because, you know, like Corey shows up Friday morning, you know, after we'd been there, and we were like, you know, like, where is he? He's been in the hotel lobby just waiting for us to wake up and start our day. So we all went out to a diner to get breakfast with him, but then he had to leave early Saturday morning.
Right.
And just a bunch of us just walked with him down to the bus station. That's where we kind of like grabbed our breakfast and just hung out at a table at the bus station eating. And it was like, I had this weird moment where I was like, I feel like we're all like high school buddies and like our friend is going off to war. Like he actually decided to go like join the army or something. And we're at the bus station saying goodbye to our friend for like the last time. And I was like, I've known Corey for like 9 hours.
Yeah.
Well, so I really enjoyed meeting him finally, because he and I, we've done some podcasts together before. We're Doctor Who buddies through and through, so it was really nice to finally meet him. And he was just – I don't know where you've been hiding him, Ron, but he's just so stinking nice. I mean, he is
– New Jersey.
Well, that's weird enough as it is right there, because people from there are like you. He was wonderful, and it was just so nice to finally get a chance to meet him.
Yeah, I was very happy that he finally got to come on. He is a marvelous traveling companion. I mentioned that we went to L.A. a couple of months ago, and I've known him for about 10 years now, and he really loves all the podcasting stuff, and of course, he's been on a bunch of my shows, and he's been on Siskoid's show, and so, yeah, I was really glad that he got to come up, even if it was for a day. And you know, I don't know about you guys. I mean, there was definitely that – when people kind of were filing in and out, there was kind of like a little – sadness there, you know, when people were like, you know, people left. Like, I mean, I will say for myself, I left on Sunday around noon, and we had this ongoing Twitter thread about everybody that was at Boston communicating back and forth. And of course, all you guys kept communicating after I left, and you're talking about getting lunch, and I'm sitting there waiting for my bus, like going, oh. I felt all sad because it was like Angie's like, oh, hey, grab me a Diet Coke. I'm like, well, I wish I was there too. And all of a sudden, you know, and then like, I it was kind of one of those things. I'm like, okay, when we do this next time, I want to kind of stay. I want to stay through the entire length of whatever the con is. Like Derek, you tend to stay like a whole extra day, right?
He's still there
on Monday, right? He's
still there. No, well, you know, what's funny is everybody's talking. Like, I don't mean to get into a downer or whatever, but everybody talks about the post-mortem, you know, con depression or whatever it is, right? But I don't think it's necessarily hit me yet because, see, this is my trick. I'm still on vacation. Like, I haven't gone back to work yet. So I'm okay right now. Like, maybe next Monday I'll be like, oh, my God. But right now I'm okay. I'm still in the glow and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, when people leave, like, that's why it's funny because Ryan was talking about, you know, going to Cheers and everything and, like, you know, like it was some kind of, you know, I don't know. Well, no. I mean, when you were talking about it, you said you didn't expect all these people to come with you. Like, it was some kind of umbrage for us to join you. But for me, I was just like, you know, I never would have thought of that myself. But I was like, this is great. I mean, I listen to Cheerscast all the time. The show itself meant a lot to me growing up and still does mean a lot to me. So it was like one of those things where I was like, yeah, of course I want to go. Like, I'm here. I might as well. You know, like, and so that was something that was really fun to me and everything. And that's kind of why I thought of that last scene, you know, when we were in that little chat thread where I was just like, oh, yeah, like that, I don't know, that's what I immediately felt like and thought of, because it was like I had just had dinner with Frank and Paquita, and I'm like, okay, I'm closing up the bar, like everybody's gone now, you know, and that kind of thing. And, I it was just like one of those things where, you know, he kind of says, oh, I'm the luckiest son of a bitch in the world. And then he says, we're closed. And that's what I felt like the whole time I was there. Like every time I paused and had a moment and, you know, whether it's, you know, sitting with Rob and talking to him about everything that's been going on, or if it was just talking to Frank about everything that he's got planned and all his commissions and all his shows and whatever's going on, and just talking to everybody here and podcasting with Keith and all that kind of stuff, like that, you know, if you just stop and take a moment to sort of let that all soak in, you know, that whole notion of finding your joy, like, I was elated and on cloud nine the whole time I was there, and I was thrilled. So
Now,
Derek, hang on. Derek, he says, I'm the luckiest son of a bitch on earth. You're not a real Cheers fan.
Oh, I'm
not even sure you're a real Transformers fan.
Wow.
That was incredibly touching, Derek. Let's see if Tim can screw it up. So, Tim, you stayed in Boston as well later. Did you go around and see any cool sights with your family?
I did. We went to see the MIT Museum on Monday. That was pretty – I had never been over to MIT, but that's definitely a place I wanted to check out, which had some very – interesting exhibits on architecture and shipbuilding, but also this kinetic sculpture sort of thing where you'd have all these gears and things moving pieces in and out and walking things around, which was fascinating. I also went to hit some other places down by the Harvard Yard, or Harvard Yard if you're down there yourself. And actually we stopped – I missed out on seeing on the trip you all made to the comic shop yourself that early day, because since I didn't show up late and I wasn't able to make it on Friday for that outing, but I went to another shop that called the Million Year Picnic, which is a much smaller kind of shop and only had comics, which was and graphic novels and things. It was really great. In fact, it's like my nephew was friends with the person who runs the shop, so it's like, okay, cool. Well, I got to go check that out. So that was good stuff. But yeah, I mean, the other thing you said, Rob, is exactly what I kind of had happen last year. I went to both Heroes Con and Baltimore Comic Con last year, and on both occasions, I just went for Friday and Saturday and went home first thing Friday morning. First thing Sunday morning. Because, you know, it was expensive. I'm not traveling with my family. They're all still at home. It's like I want to get back and, you know, get back to the world and not feel like I'm, you know, deserting my family, which I was. but then on the drive home, it was the same thing. Is that I'd see all the – whether it was on a Facebook group or a Twitter group, it's like, there's more things happening, more stuff going on. It's like, oh man, it's like the rats, Charlie Brown face happening right there. It's like, it was so hard to leave those things. And that's where it became a thing of, if at all possible, I'm going to stay all the way through Sunday, because it's just heartbreaking to leave before the party's over. So I understand that completely. And thankfully, I traveled home on Tuesday, which went smoothly, and went back to work yesterday, which was hell. So, hey, now it's like, okay, when's the next show?
Right.
When can we do this again?
Well, I got home Sunday at 1 in the morning and was back at work at 8 o'clock the next day. So that was not a lot of fun there. And yeah, the reality really set in. Oddly enough, it really set in on Tuesday is when it hit me the hardest. It was very hard. Now, Ange, that's got to be a different experience for you, being in your hometown doing a con.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because despite having lived up here for nearly 20 years, I live south of the city, and the hospital is on the southern rim of the city. And so when people were like, oh, we're going to go to Cheers, I was like, I've actually never been to Cheers, and I've lived up here for 20 years. So I was like, of course I'm going to go. And then you guys were like, we're going to go on the T. And I'm like, what is this demonic tube under the ground? I don't know what this is. And I drive everywhere, and so I was like, you know, you got to face your fears. So like, oh my, and then you know, you get into like, just tell me we're going down the train in the right direction. I'm so nervous about this. So it was really quite wonderful to sort of you know, cross the commons and go to Cheers and sort of see some sites up in Boston that despite having lived up here, I haven't seen. But the thing for me, of course, was I went home every night, you know, and. It's lucky enough that, again, I totally deserted my family, but I was always home at a reasonable hour enough that I could sort of say, like, hey, I'm home, and, you know, I did some cool stuff at the con, and I'm getting up early tomorrow to sort of go again. It's good for me that I kind of get to, be with my family and sort of be away from them. And they know, of course, that, you know, this is sort of the convention season for me. But it was the same thing, you know, Monday morning, it was up at 5:30 and driving into the hospital. And I was just sitting at that keyboard saying, like, what the hell? Like, can't I be watching Transformers again instead of doing what I'm doing right now?
Yeah, I want to tap onto that as well in that. Those two things kind of go together that you're saying, Ange, in that the Transformers evening was so much fun. I mean, are there other points in the comic that might be my bigger favorites? Yes, but the Transformers night was just amazing. You know, just camaraderie and joking and had some good food together. And, you know, there's Derek and Ryan. And after the movie's over, we were just talking and dissecting Transformers for like an hour and a half. It was, and I was having a blast every second of it. I didn't want it to end, but then I'm looking at the watch going like, I got to get the last train before it goes out at midnight. So I better go. I don't want to though. It was just, so that was hard. It was just hard to have to, so I sympathize with that too, Ange. Like, you know, sometimes that's the thing with us not being at the hotel is that you have to go and I know that you guys just, it's not that I begrudge you guys hanging out and having a great time afterwards. It's like, well, I did hate you for that, but
understandably.
But it was just hard to. It's one of those things. It made sense not to stay at the hotel, but it was just a hard. It was in the moment, you didn't want to let that moment go. That's what this whole weekend was about. It's like having those great moments that I want to keep on hanging on to.
Oh, go ahead, Jack.
Well, I was just going to say, we didn't want to let it go either, so we went downstairs, and we stayed up talking until 1:30 in the morning. We even let Keith come along, which was something we all regretted. Speaking of which, Keith, so now we all talked about families and not seeing our families. So your family was probably happy for you to be gone for several days, I would assume, right?
Well, I actually live with a house full of women, three of which are teenage girls, so I don't even know that I was gone. I can take this to a 10,000 foot level for you if you want me to.
God. Why do I hang out with this guy?
And just say, and hanging out with people. The weird thing is that me coming into this, I, you know, a lot of times people get down about the state of the world or the state. General populace or whatever. I don't know if anybody else does that, but every now and then, you know, those negative thoughts will creep into my head. But just getting together with people who some of whom I've never seen them other than a Twitter or Instagram icon of them, and to meet them in this thing, get to talk with them, get to see a little bit into their life and let them into my life and just basically hang out together and find out how much everybody has in common, and just it kind of gives you a renewed faith in humanity in a way. Getting together with people like this, and you guys, you know, I didn't mean to get sappy here toward the end, but you know, I've already had three or four, you know, that. Everybody got quiet.
Well, you broke up at the end, but I think we all could tell through the internet warble that you're talking about drinking booze. So we all figured that out.
Oh, did you really miss all that?
No, we caught it all. It was just the last part where we missed it, but I interpreted what it was.
Okay. Well, yeah. It basically comes down to the fact that you know, if anybody gets a chance to meet people, that's kind of what everything is about. Whether it's a con or whatever, it's interacting with other people that actually brings you faith in humanity, even though you may run into, you know, some assholes every now and then, like Shaq. So, you know,
you beat me in my joke. I was just going to say it was an amazing collection of nice people. Really loved all. It was really, really nice people and Frank. So,
yeah,
I love how the bust on Shaq came through crystal clear. I love that.
That's the piece that didn't have internet warmer. Thanks so much.
Before we wrap up, I do have one just little detail that I wanted to mention was we went out on Friday, and this Friday was my birthday. I purposely – that was one of the reasons I was excited about this, is I was going to get to go out and have fun on my birthday. And the thing I wanted to do for dinner was sit outside. I love sitting outside at dinner. When we were in Los Angeles, we had meals like outside all the time, and I just love it. And living in New Jersey, you don't get to do that very much. You get to do it maybe about 4 months out of the year, and then the rest of the time it's too cold and gray. You don't get to do it. And I really wanted to do that for my birthday. But at the same time, you know, Boston's a hopping town, and you don't necessarily are in control of all that. And so I didn't really get into it with anybody. I didn't really want to be like, hey, it's my birthday, can we sit? Because I just, you know, I didn't want it to feel like I was dragging the whole group to find some place to sit outside. But we decided to walk down to the waterfront and go get dinner. And at this point, the group was at the biggest size it had been. We had Corey with us. We had Terry O'Malley with us. The Sutherlands were with us. Frank and Paquita were with us. So we were like 13 of us. And we stopped. We hit this sports bar that is right on the water, sitting literally right on the water. And we walked in. And Ange, I think, was the point man on this. And we walked in and we were like, well, look, we're going to know we're good. There's 13 of us. It's Friday night. We're on the waterfront. We're going to be waiting forever. And we walked right in, and Ange said, is there any chance you can seat 13? And the guy goes, we have two tables of six. Will that work? We were like, yeah. And we ended up sitting right down like 2 seconds later. And before I knew it, I was sitting with my back to the water. I had Corey on to one side of me. And it was just like – and the Sutherlands on the other side. And it was – an amazingly great meal. And there's a bunch of pictures that we have, and maybe we'll even put some of them up on a gallery page. I don't know. I'll let Shag do that, cause he handles that.
Just gave me a homework.
There you go. Perfect. But I mean, it was just marvelous, and it felt, in a weird way, like it was, you know, like we were under a lucky star at that point, because where else are you going to be able to walk into a restaurant on a Friday night at 8:30 in downtown Boston and say, hey, room for 13, and they said yes. It was just absolutely amazing, and it was one of the most fun evenings of my entire life, and so I feel very fortunate that it all played out the way it did.
Actually, when Ange went up to the front, he told the maitre d' that you were Abe Froman. So that's how we got seated. So
that works in Chicago, not Boston.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I had my. I think Derek mentioned sort of that moment where time stops and you look around and you're like, this is really happening at this exact moment right now, and this is a moment I don't want to forget. And mine was during dinner that night when I looked around and saw this collection of faces of people I love, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is what the Fire and Water Podcast Network is all about, is being part of a community of friends. And I don't make it sound like it's our community, because it's much bigger than just us. It's so much more. It's just all these internet friends that have come together and literally become real face to face friends. And Keith. So it was wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, podcasting is a very kind of solitary, thing. You sit basically by yourself behind this microphone, and maybe there's people around. I mean, it's a very solitary kind of thing, and I never would have imagined in a million years that when Shag and I sat down to start doing this podcast 8 years ago, By the way, Shag, congratulations. You are now official my longest relationship.
I'm sorry, Rob.
Yeah.
It's like 8 years ago this week, I think, actually. It might be. Yeah,
basically, something like that. But, I mean, it's like when we sat down to do it, we had no idea that we would, of course, still be doing it this many years later and that it would grow into this network. And then it would grow into this group of people that make the effort to be together and do all these things together and, you know, wait in line with one another or bring Transformers comics to one another or just whatever it was. It's an incredibly accepting, open-hearted group. And when there's a new member, whatever that person's field of interest might be. I mean, that was something that's always – I mean, not all of us are all comic book geeks. Some of us are geeks for other things, and it's all just kind of grist for the mill. And again, there were sometimes small groups in the hotel lobby. Sometimes there were larger groups. But it was just this ongoing rolling thing. And my big takeaway – and maybe we should wrap it up here in terms of, like, you know – pointing towards the future. But my big takeaway from this was, I don't want to do this just once a year anymore. That's just not enough. That's not going to work for me. And there are lots of other people within our extended family that I have not yet met and I want to meet, although I am winning the Fire and Water Bingo because I've met Paul Hicks from Australia. There's no way anybody's going to replicate that. Thank you, Paul. But I went home. I took the day off. I took Monday off, luckily. I was smart enough to know I took the not go back to work the next day. But going back to work on Tuesday was a giant downer, I got to say, because it just felt like that was such a fun experience, and I want to try and kind of reorganize my life a little bit. It seems very dramatic, but I kind of want to look at my finances and say, all right, maybe spend a little less money on – You know, Transformers porn. Comics like I do, or porn, yeah. And instead, put some money aside for traveling a little more to get to meet these people because it really was – I didn't necessarily want to get into all this on the show, but it was really one of the best experiences of my entire life. And this year especially has been an incredibly difficult year for me, and to have this experience with everybody was just amazing. And it was just the fact – and I'm so proud that Shag and I and Ryan and Siskoid and Chris and Max and Nathaniel and the girls and Bass and Zoom and everyone else that's part of this, everyone who's left a comment, everybody who's listened to a show, everybody who's retweeted what we've been doing is part of this. And we've all built this together. And I've said this before on other episodes. I said this, I think, on our anniversary show, Shag. I've had a lot of – creative things in my life. I was a freelance artist for many years. I've done a lot of – I've written a lot of articles. The network is by far the most satisfying creative endeavor I've ever had in my entire life. And the fact that it involves so many people and the fact that it enables me to get to do this kind of thing is go to a fun city and meet all these people and then get to talk about it with all you later on. I just feel like so fortunate. Just so incredibly fortunate I got to do it. And I can't wait to do it again next year with whoever can show up. I'm looking forward to it.
I don't have a lot more to say beyond what you just said, but you say this is the greatest creative endeavor you've done. I feel like this is the greatest extended family thing I've been part of, because I've been part of a lot of different communities, and I like to build communities and create them around different things. And this has just been unbelievable. And this whole call has been a testament to that. If someone's still listening here in hour six of this Boston Fan Expo recap, just know that you listening are even part of this, and we hope you join us next year.
Absolutely. And so when we put together a trip next year, and maybe we'll put together more than one, if you're listening to this, we would like to see you there, because the Fire and Water Network is a very inclusive place, and we love to meet as many people as possible. We were just so fortunate that we got to do it. So I guess we should wrap it up here because it's late, guys. We're all staying up very late. We appreciate everybody showing up. So Ryan, Ange, Derek, Keith, Tim, guys, thank you so much for coming along, and thank you so much for doing this with Shag and I. I mean, originally Shag and I were just going to do this together, just alone. And then once again, like it happened in Boston, we put the word out, and all of a sudden everybody was like, yeah, I'll do this. Yeah, I'll be involved. And it's just amazing. So thank you all for being part of this. It really was a completely joyous experience.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
All right, so I guess that's going to wrap it up, Shag. Is there anything else we want to say before we sign off?
All I can think of is if everybody wants to do this together, until next time, fan the flame.
Fan the flame.
And ride the wave. Ride the wave.
Transform and roll out.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Wow. He went there.
You got the touch. You got the power. Yeah. After all is said and done, you never walk, you never run. You're a winner. You got to move, you know the streets. Break the rules, take the heat. You're nobody's fool. You're at your best when the going gets rough. You've been put to the test, but it's never enough. You got to touch.
Hold the phone, everybody. At the very last second, our pals Darren and Ruth Sutherland, who we mentioned in this very episode and we spent a lot of time with at the Boston Fan Expo, managed to record some thoughts about their trip, their experiences in Boston with us. And so they have very generously sent that file along. So we are going to end this episode with a few words from our pals Darren and Ruth. We love them very much, and it was so great to see them and hang out with them at Boston. So take it away, Ruth and Darren.
Hi, I'm Ruth.
And I'm Darren.
Of the Rad Adventures Network.
We were very happy to join the podcast meetup again this year. It's such a wonderful opportunity to spend time with friends who have common interests, and it's always a highlight of our year.
We wanted to join this conversation, but unfortunately we had another commitment, so I hope you enjoy hearing our brief highlights from the weekend.
It's always great to see Rob and Shag at these events. They were our introduction to this community many years ago when we first discovered their podcast.
They've been great friends and supporters of ours, and we sincerely appreciate it.
And we loved visiting the original bar that was the inspiration for the Cheers TV series, along with our friend Ryan of the Cheers cast. That will remain a special memory for us.
It's always great to see our friends Diablo, Frank, and Paquita. Like us, they love to travel, and we love sharing stories and photos about recent trips and future travel plans with them.
And we have many film, TV, and anime interests with Derek WC, so any time we get to spend with him is always filled with fun conversations. Plus, it's always neat to see his latest Maxima commission.
This convention gave us the chance to meet Dr. Ange in person, which was fantastic. We've been online friends for several years, and it was great to meet face-to-face.
And we also met Terry for the first time and heard fun stories of music performances and Spider-Man appearances.
We also had the chance to meet Corey, which was a real pleasure. We discovered we have many common film and TV interests, as well as being fans of Mike Grill. We really hope to pick up on those conversations at a future con.
And we always find it amusing that we have to travel far away to these events to spend time with our good friend Keith G. Baker, even though he lives right here in the same area with us. But sadly, that's just the nature of the busy world we all live in.
Other highlights for us included meeting actress Sean Young. Blade Runner is one of her all-time favorite films, so it was terrific to meet her in this 2019 anniversary year.
And it was awesome to see comic legend Steve Reed again. We've been fans for many years and have seen him a couple of times in the past.
At this con, we picked up an original commission of Nexus, and we loved seeing the awesome commission of Space Ghost that Tim got.
It's always great to spend time with Tim, and it was fun to compare these amazing commissions.
And finally, I just want to mention Taiyaki. This traditional Japanese dessert has been a favorite of ours for many years, but it's very difficult to find in the U.S.
A while back, we discovered a shop in New York called Taiyaki NYC that puts an American spin on the traditional dessert by turning it into an ice cream cone, and they recently opened a second shop in Boston near the convention center.
It was wonderful to introduce all our friends to this dessert and to see the enthusiasm everyone had about going back for more throughout the weekend. It was very special to me to share that with everyone, and I thank you all.
Thanks again, everyone, for this wonderful weekend of friendship.